Welcome to One Good Thing Media, your official podcast review channel. We search the vast digital landscape on a daily basis to discover the best shows that podcasters have to offer. Are you ready to discover new favorites to add to your playbook? Stay tuned and listen to host Gerald Spear's latest podcast reviews.
Hello everyone, and welcome to One Good Thing Media. For those of you who are new to our show, my name is Gerald Spear, and I am the host and creator of our podcast. Each week we bring you podcast news, we do reviews of top podcasts, whether they're large or small, that you should check out, and quite often a lively interview. I am actually solo this week, but if interviews are your thing, check out One Good Thing Media Episode 8, Into the Light, where former cult member Amanda Briggs talks about her time as a member of the Institute of Basic Life Principles, or as it's commonly called, the IBLP. It is the same cult that the Duggar family still belongs to. She talks about what it was like growing up without having any say-so in her life and being a subservient female within the IBLP. We also have interviews in episode 9, 11, and 12. I know that's a lot to remember, so rest assured that I am going to be putting reference to these interviews in this week's show notes. Today I'm reviewing two podcasts that cover true tales of espionage. And one podcast actually interviews the spies that worked for our government, Israel, Russia, and many other countries, and many of their daring exploits. I'm telling you, it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. The other one is a brand new podcast about the real James Bond, who really did have multiple women on his arms, sometimes as many as three, although I'm not sure how he managed that. Before I get going with the heart of our program, I want to stop for just a moment to ask you to support us by following our podcast, and if you're so moved, to give us a 5-star rating. By doing so, please know that giving us even this small amount of love can sustain our spirits for weeks to come, and that is the truth. If you've already done that for us, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Seriously, it counts for a lot in these early days of our podcast. I actually only have one bit of news for today, and it's something that I just read in a daily industry report. This is going to blow your mind. Alex Cooper of Call Her Daddy fame is seeking a new buyer for her show. And the asking price, you might wonder? Well, we don't know the exact amount, although it is being reported to be in the 9-figure range. My opinion, honestly, if Joe Rogan can get $250 million for a 5-year contract with his podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, I think Alex Cooper will probably get her asking price too. And now with that teeny-tiny bit of news, I say, let's get on with the show. My first review today will be about a podcast called True Spies, and it is actually by Spyscape, the headquarters of all things spy. I recently read that spying, or being a spy, is the second oldest profession on Earth. And you know what? I believe that. Tracing back to some of the earliest times in recorded history, we find there was a great deal of spying going on. And even though it was primitive, the common denominator with today's satellites and digital assets and sophisticated gadgetry are the people who often risk their lives in order to complete their missions. True Spies has been on the air for 4 years. And because of that, If you have just discovered this particular podcast, you have so many episodes you can binge. It will seem like forever before you run out of material and have to wait week to week for a new episode to be dropped. In True Spies, I liked the fact that I listened to it from the beginning because the show evolves naturally over 4 years, and I witnessed those changes, that sophistication, the polish, the point of view, just changing slightly as we change as listeners. I have a lot of favorite episodes in this particular podcast. I have to admit, I really can't say, well, this one was my most favorite because there's so many, but in the early episodes, there's an episode 3 that's called Fair Game? And it's about a female spy who became a highly sophisticated agent who operated in Europe and throughout the world for 20 years. And honestly, she sounds like a soccer mom. It's like, who's living next door to me? Who do you know that is a spy? Maybe you do, and you just don't realize it. So she did some real daring do. She got involved in the spying for the weapons of mass destruction and Iraq and, of course, Saddam Hussein. And many more stories, actually, many of them happening before the 9/11 debacle and the declaration of war on Iraq in 2003. So she talks about how they groom their subjects, how they are trained themselves, a lot of stuff. So I really recommend that you listen to it. And here is a clip from that show.
Episode 3, Fair Game.
My name is Valerie Plame. I was a covert CIA operations officer. My first job overseas was as a case officer. My last job was as a manager of some extremely compartmented secret programs that dealt with nuclear proliferation.
In true spy fashion, Valerie Plame is underselling herself. Don't let the word manager fool you. Valerie was part of the effort to track the proliferation of weapons in Iran. She was part of the team that exposed Pakistani physicist A.Q. Khan, who illegally sold nuclear weapons to some of America's most dangerous opponents. And by the time she was forced out of the CIA, she was head of operations of the Iraq Joint Task Force.
Over time, I developed an expertise in nuclear counterproliferation, essentially making sure that bad guys, whether they are terrorists, black marketeers, rogue nation states, that they did not acquire nuclear capacity or nuclear weapons.
She was right where the action was post 9/11. And then, in 2003, her brilliant career was brought to an abrupt standstill. Fed to the media hounds in a game of political football, Valerie Plame's cover was blown.
Well, the covert career was done. It's over. I could no longer go overseas. It was sad because I wasn't ready to leave. I still loved what I did. I believed in it. As the CIA likes to say, you know, not everyone knows our successes. Everyone knows our failures.
True Spies is about what happens when politics and intelligence collide and the spy becomes the scapegoat. And it's a slightly unusual one because our spy cannot talk about anything to do with her career before 2002, even basic, innocuous details like when she joined the CIA.
Given the agency stipulations, I am not permitted to say myself
or how long she served.
I cannot say.
Valerie Plame joined the CIA in 1985. A time of transition and social change as the agency realized women could gather intelligence too, not just control the schedules of the men who traditionally had. And Valerie was in the vanguard of women recruited specifically to go into operations into the CIA.
The CIA is essentially broken into four main areas of mission. One is the Directorate of Operations.
Operations.
They are the ones that are responsible for human intelligence. That's the raison d'etre of the CIA. They are the ones who spot, assess, develop, and recruit foreign assets. There's a directorate of intelligence.
Intelligence.
They are responsible for collecting the intelligence from the sources, assessing its quality, assigning it at certain values, and then redistributing it throughout the intelligence community. There is a director of science and technology.
Science and technology.
Which is sort of the, all the Q from James Bond sort of things, all the cool gadgets and spy gear and overhead satellite stuff. And then finally, director of administration.
Administration.
And they make the whole thing run.
It's their job to recruit foreign assets, mark them, stalk them, charm them, and lure them in to provide critical intelligence to the policymakers back home. So how did the CIA spot a future case officer in the young, all-American Valerie? Perhaps it was this that did it.
I still and always will remember an episode whereby I'm being asked possible vignettes or how would you handle this? So the woman who that day happened to be interviewing me was a very proper older woman. I think she had a twin set on, set of pearls, her gray hair, and a very nice bob. And she asked me the following. Okay, what would you do, Valerie, if you are in an operational meeting with an asset, a man, you're in a seedy hotel room, he's passing you very secret papers, and all of a sudden, you hear pounding at the door, and you hear, "Police, open up!
Police, open up!"
What would you do? I wasn't very worldly in many ways, but I realized the only good reason a man and a woman would be together in a hotel room is, well, there's only one good reason. So I said, look, everyone takes off their clothes real fast and jumps into bed.
There are so many interesting stories in this particular podcast as well, like the spy that brought down Robert Hansen. There's also stories of CIA agents being actually in the CIA vault after 9/11. And another one that's about a Russian who was in a Russian sleeper cell in the United States for 20 years. So there's all kinds of stories, and I think you'll enjoy it. There's also an interactive element to it. And the reason for that is that Spyscape is actually a whole organization that focuses on secrets. And they have an interactive museum in New York on 8th Avenue that you can go in and actually go through this 60,000 square foot facility. If you participate in the interactive portion of the museum, at the end of your tour, they actually give you an assessment on whether you would be a good spy, and if you would be a good spy, what type of position would you excel at? Very interesting. My second review is a podcast called The Spy Who, and it's by Wondery. Now, there's only two episodes available right now. They're brand new, and the two episodes I listened to was The Spy Who Inspired 007. There's going to be more episodes on that, I know, because obviously the story wasn't finished at the end of episode two, but man, is it worth it. The first two episodes are so interesting to me because James Bond was actually inspired by a real-life spy during World War II, and Ian Fleming, the author of all the James Bond books, was actually in Her Majesty's service at that time, and he was tasked with observing this particular spy to make sure he was on the up and up. And the more he observed him, the more he got interested about writing a fictional character with many of the same exploits and many of the same characteristics. And that was how James Bond was born in Jamaica, where Ian Fleming lived 2 months out of every year and wrote his first James Bond book called Casino Royale. I'm getting ready to play you a clip from the show, but I have to explain a couple things. The man who was the real James Bond, his name was Dusko Popov, and he was a Serbian national who hated the Nazis. He was also a playboy, he was a womanizer, and he was fearless, cool in action, and all of the characteristics that we're familiar with the character James Bond. Popov was also a lawyer and was incredibly rich. It came from his family, and of course, he earned his way as well. So, having a few encounters, shall we say, with the Nazis, he learned to hate them very quickly. He hated their philosophy. And so, the Germans, at some point, not realizing this, asked him to be a spy because he was so well connected with all of the royalty and well-to-do people in Europe. And Popov readily agreed, but not really to spy for Germany, but rather to become a double agent and actually spy for Britain. Here is a clip for when he was sent by Germany to Lisbon to gather information on Britain. Now, you may be wondering, what? Lisbon? Portugal was a neutral country during World War II, and it became a hubbub of spy versus spy. There were people there to sell secrets, people there to buy secrets, and spies from different agencies of European countries just to see what was going on, who was selling what, who was buying what, and what did they want for themselves. Here we go.
December 1940, Lisbon, Portugal. Popov sits outside a cafe sipping an espresso and pretending to read a newspaper. Portugal is a neutral country, and that's made Lisbon a haven for the wealthy and connected to escape the war, and that in turn has attracted an influx of spies from all sides. It's an ideal place for a double agent. As he finishes his espresso, a woman with blonde hair and a figure-hugging dress approaches. She passes close by and winks. It's the signal Popov's been waiting for. Popov calmly folds his newspaper and follows her through the crowds. She leads him to a waiting car, and they both slip inside. The car motors through the Lisbon traffic before stopping to let the woman out. Then the driver turns to Popov. Lie face down on the seat so you can't be seen. Popov does as he is told, but now his fear's mounting. He doesn't know why the woman left the car or why he needs to stay hidden. But he does know that if the Abwehr have discovered that he's double-crossing them, this journey will be his last.
I'm going to leave it at that. And I hope you enjoy the show. So again, it is The Spy Who. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to mention this. Remember when I was joking about how Popov had three women on his arm at all times? He was so famous for always having at least three women around him that his spy nickname was Tricycle. That wraps it up for this show. This one is short and sweet. Please go to our Facebook page at facebook.com, obviously, One Good Thing Media. Check out our postings. We post every day there, give you news and catch up on all different kinds of things that are related to podcasts. And of course, don't forget to check out this episode, One Good Thing Media, wherever you listen to podcasts. You take care, and I'll be back next week, right here, same name, same channel, same me. Season 2 of One Good Thing Media has been brought to you by host and creator Gerald Spear, All things technical were fine-tuned by sound engineer David Dodd, and our announcer for all of our shows is Robert Spear. Our theme song for all of Season 2 of One Good Thing Media is Force by AGST.